Well, this morning we are in Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54. And this morning I'm going to read the first four verses from this prophecy. Let us give our careful and reverent attention to the Word of God. Sing, O barren one who did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not been in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and will people the desolate cities. Fear not, for you will not be ashamed. Be not confounded, for you will not be disgraced. For you will forget the shame of your youth, and the reproach of your widowhood you will remember no more. For your Maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. The God of the whole earth, he is called. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God stands forevermore. Last week, you might remember, I read the 12 verses of Isaiah 53 to describe the reason Jesus was born. He came to make an atoning sacrifice for our sins on the cross. And you may remember that before I began to read that passage, I encouraged you to try to imagine that you'd never heard those words before, that they were completely unfamiliar to you. I don't know how many of us could really do that because Isaiah 53 is one of the most familiar passages of Scripture. But you'll notice this morning I did not ask you to try to imagine that about Isaiah 54, because this is not one of the most familiar passages of Scripture. Perhaps some of you have never even heard it before. I don't know. But if you're like me, you've read it before, maybe you don't remember it. Its words are unfamiliar. But the words of this passage deserve to be familiar, because what Isaiah is doing here is, after predicting the atoning sacrifice of Christ, he now prophesies about the results of the atoning sacrifice of Christ for his people. And the Lord willing, during this week and the next 2 weeks of Advent, I'd like to look in detail at Isaiah 54, at the results of Christ's sacrifice for us. This morning we'll see in these first five verses that Jesus turned the world upside down by his atoning sacrifice at Calvary. He turned it upside down and inside out, if you will. He changed everything. And this is illustrated by addressing three groups that demonstrate this. The first group is the barren, the broken-hearted barren woman. We see this in verse 1. Sing, O barren one who did not bear. That sounds almost like a ridiculing statement, because the very last thing a barren woman wants to do is to sing. It has been always considered, and still today is considered, a grave calamity to have problems with infertility. Some of you, I'm sure, have experienced, or maybe even now are experiencing, trials of that. And it's a very heavy burden for any to bear. But it was even more devastating, if it's possible to say that, in Bible times. For a woman to be married and not to be able to bear children was considered a terrible reproach. Indeed, there were some husbands who would write out a bill of divorcement because of it, because they saw the chief point of having a wife was to have a lot of kids. This was the ancient way of thinking. We don't have to look far in the Bible to find the pain of the barren woman described. Sarah, who was one of the first and notable women who was barren, when she heard the angels who appeared to her husband Abraham say, next year this time Sarah's going to have a son, She laughed in derisive scorn. Didn't believe it. And who could blame her? A few generations later, Rachel, married to Jacob, was barren while her sister, who was also married to Jacob, was bearing children left and right. And Rachel was so devastated and desperate by this, she went to an unthinkable alternative. She brought a servant girl to her husband and said, "This girl is going to bear children in my stead. Go to sleep with her." You know, if you never read that in the Bible, it's there. And I hasten to mention that the Bible does not justify that. It does not approve that. It simply describes the depths that people will go to in sin to try to find a remedy. Years later, Hannah was driven to the tabernacle of God by her barrenness. As she wept and prayed without her voice being heard, the high priest thought she was drunk. It drove her to a higher way than Rachel. Hannah pleaded with the Lord and said, "If you give me a son, I will give him back to you, and he'll be dedicated to you all the days of his life." Her son was Samuel. And then, of course, the Christmas story. We hear of a barren woman, Mary's cousin Elizabeth. And in her old age, when she found herself with child, who would be John the Baptist, she joyously sang, "The Lord has taken away my reproach from among the people." And that was the way it felt to barren women. They felt themselves covered with shame and reproach. It was an unthinkable grief to have to bear. Jesus, in attempting to describe the utter horror that would come upon the city of Jerusalem in 70 AD when it was destroyed, as he was carrying his own cross up Golgotha, heard the wailing of the women of Jerusalem. And he turned to them and he said to the women of Jerusalem, he said, "Truly I say to you," I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wrong thing. "Daughters of Jerusalem," he said, "do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." Listen to this now. "For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.'" Jesus said, "It's going to be so horrible to see your children deprived and killed that the barren will be thankful that they never bore." All of this describes the weight of despair these poor women had to bear.